and welcome to Trust in Evil.
I'm Bryony.
And I'm Sam. And we are on number
5, we believe.
Definitely one of them.
Oh, 4 or 5.
It's definitely one.
Well, it's late now anyway.
Yeah.
So we're allowed to be silly.
Yeah. That's our excuse. And I'm going to stand by it.
Yeah.
So Bryony being the legend that she is, not that I want to give you a big head, but I'm still bogged down with lots of crap. And even though you've been on your sick bed,
I've been very poorly.
Poorly. She's doing all the cases at the moment, and that's why we're releasing every 2 weeks. But...
oh, yeah, I just put it on me. Like, she's the reason.
Yeah, but that's the reason we're getting cases done at all, to be fair, at the moment. I'm just sat here listening.
Yeah, you are. But I think I found a case that you don't know about, which I'm really excited about.
Okay.
So this case, I'm going to basically... it's going to be 2 parts. Now, I think the second part's going to be about 4 hours long, but I'm not going to do it into 3 parts. I'm literally just going to do 2 parts. That's it.
Okay.
But I'm going to make sure I get all the information in. And I love this case. It's like, it's sad. It's exciting. It's nerve-wracking. It's appalling. It's just everything. There's so much in this case.
Right.
It's just so many people have done this case as well. But the reason why I wanted to do it is because... It's just so shocking.
Right.
Like, what happens in the, like, did this happen?
Okay.
Okay. So we're all just, so it's Cleveland abductions. And the first victim we're going to talk about is Michelle Knight. So the perpetrator is Ariel Castro.
Ah.
Okay.
Ah, that rings a bell.
Yeah. You will know some of it because it's like, it's amazing, basically, you know? And so anyway, the first bit, he's preyed on vulnerable young girls, and he was just a sick bastard, basically.
Aren't they all?
Yes. So Michelle Knight didn't really have the best start in life. She looked after her siblings, bounced from trailer to trailer. She was bullied and assaulted in school. She wasn't the cleanest, as she couldn't often shower.
Hence the bullying.
Yep. So she was an easy target. She was being abused at home by a member of her family. This resulted in her running away. She would sleep rough, and she joined a church that offered her food and warmth. She found some joy in this, and everyone would sleep on their own.
Was the church on the up and up? Were they just
a
good church?
Yeah, I think so. Right. Yeah, I think it was just a church that helped people, which is absolutely
That's
lovely.
Good. That's great.
I mean, obviously, you're on the streets, shit's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, but I think, this is
well done for her. I know she went in from crap into crap, but just that thing of wanting to be better and leaving that situation, I mean... well done.
Well, I feel like you just, well done for leaving it. But you, like, to leave it and go into this situation is just
sad.
Awful. Yeah, sad. And she just, her life just shit, basically. It was bin shit. She made friends with some, and she would get clothes given to her. I think maybe she felt looked after, and I don't think she's ever really had that in her life.
Yeah.
She did say she missed her siblings so much, and I can't even imagine how hard that must have been. She was sort of like their sole carer.
Yeah.
And to run away from her abuse, but also to sort of abandon her siblings.
There's so much guilt there, isn't there?
Yeah, not that she should feel guilty about that, but, you know, when you're in that situation...
yeah, of course you feel guilty, because she shouldn't have to, but of course it's there.
Yeah, exactly. So Michelle was making friends, maybe some not good friends. She met a man that wanted her to run drugs for him.
Right.
So let's look at it this way. Maybe she's not the best... maybe it's not the best thing to do, but when you're homeless and you have nothing... you know,
you get what you can, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. You don't know when the next time you're going to eat. You don't know when the next time you're going to shower.
Yeah.
You know, everything's taken for granted in our daily lives.
And people look down on the homeless. I wouldn't say everyone. I'm not saying everyone. Don't jump down my throat. But people do. Yeah. You assume that there's...
drug addicts.
And even if they are drug addicts, but they can be the nicest people. But you just assume that they are lower than or lesser than.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always a fair representation.
A friend of mine used to go and sleep with the homeless people. She wasn't homeless. She used to go in town and sleep with them.
I remember you saying something.
I never. I was too scared. I was like, absolutely not. But she loved it, you know? So, yeah, Michelle agreed to run drugs, and she was introduced to a man called Warwick. That's all I... or Wodrick or Warwick. I'm going to say it's Warwick, but it could have been Wodrick. Not really sure.
Right, okay.
Okay. He said she can sleep there. Treat it like a home, but you have to sell drugs for me. She didn't have any better option. You know, this is a house, shower, warmth, bed.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, she was running drugs. She wasn't very good at it, basically.
Right.
But this guy sort of took her in and he was nice to her, you know? I mean, he probably pushed her to sell drugs, not the best thing. But
yeah, but it's very... someone... what's the word I'm looking for? It's very like... it's almost like grooming.
Mm. Yeah, but also as well, she's getting something from it as well.
Yeah.
You know?
But that is the whole thing. You do this, but do yeah. this. I know it's not great, but do this. But I can offer you this if you do.
But she hasn't got a better option.
Yeah.
You know, she can't go and get a job. She's not old enough to go and get a job. And this is the sad reality.
She is the perfect victim, is it, in this sort of like scenario. Mm-hmm. She is what people like that prey on.
He was making her sell drugs, but I think she actually got on really well with him. They actually had a really nice relationship.
Okay.
So although she was selling drugs, she like looks at him, she does still look at him as a friend.
Okay, was he a good guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was, yeah. So it wasn't long before Michelle was found and she was made to come home. Not long after this, Michelle got pregnant with an on-off boyfriend. She had no job, she didn't have a place of her own, and the dad didn't stick around.
Mm-hmm.
So she had a little boy called Joey. And she loved him so much. She was a good mum. She was trying to get a job. She was really, really trying. She asked her mum to watch Joey while she went in to give out CVs. But it ended up that her mum's new boyfriend, Carlos, was looking after him. So he liked to drink. And he admitted that Joey was too much, basically. Much for him to look after. He lashed out and fractured Joey's leg. But Michelle, you know, come home, her son's injured. She took him to hospital.
I get it might be too much, but that is something different.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Michelle told the hospital that he'd done it at the park. Okay, so she's obviously panicking. Yeah. You know, she's like, done it at the park. So now she...
I'd imagine there's pressure on her by Carlos and her mum and that, like,
no, see, because Carlos comes forward and he's like, I did it. Yeah. So basically, she says to them, he did it at the park. Now, so she's saying to the hospital, oh, we did it at the park, you know. So now she is known to be a liar.
Mm-hmm.
As the dirtbag that Carlos is, he admitted it to the hospital. He said, look, basically, I couldn't cope with him. I lashed out and I hurt him. Now, we say this all the time, don't we? That children can't fight back. So you're like an absolute fucking tool for hurting a child. Yeah.
So why did he do that, though?
He just couldn't cope with him. He was pissed.
Not why he did the actual thing, but why did he tell the hospital?
I think he just felt guilty.
So yeah, so it wasn't like to get her in trouble.
No, I think he literally did feel guilty about it. I think he was an alky. Yeah, he was an alky and he drank, and obviously Joey was a little baby, you know, just constantly on the go probably. Mm-hmm. And it happened. He felt guilty. I do believe that he did feel guilty. I mean, I don't know if this is true or not, but my understanding of it is he felt guilty. He told them he hurt Joey. So anyway, social services got involved and they took Joey away.
Mm.
And this is really hard because obviously he was hurt, not in her care, but he was hurt in the environment that she lives in.
Yeah, so the environment that she left him in. Mm-hmm,
exactly. And also as well, like, not that I'm getting at her at all, but couldn't she have taken him with him, her in his pram and handed out
But CDs? I guess there's so many if, buts, and maybes, and we have said so many times, haven't we, that... why was this and why was that and da 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 and why weren't social services on it and that and
yeah. And the minute they are on it, yeah. You're like, oh well, you know, if they were just, I mean, she was, you know, like everybody says that, like, she was a good mum.
Mm.
Like, you know, she was a good mum. She played with him. He was clean. He was, you know, had it. You know, not everything because she couldn't afford it. But a baby doesn't need loads of toys to be happy. They need love and attention. You know. And so anyway, yeah, so social services took him away and Michelle said she was going to do everything to get him back. She said she was attending visitations. She's doing everything they say, so she's doing sort of parenting courses.
How old is she at this point?
I think she might have been 15, 16.
Oh, so she's still a baby, isn't she? Could have been older.
I don't know why. I must have written her age down somewhere, but she was his oldest victim, I'm sure of it.
Right.
I should know this, but sometimes I do it off the top of my head because I think I'll remember that.
Yeah, it's the dyslexia thing, it really is.
Exactly. So anyway, so she's doing everything. She moved out of her home and in with her cousin. She also met Lisa Castro at this point. Now, I remember Ariel Castro's name.
I was going to say, I know Lisa Castro's name, but yeah, again.
So anyway,
now you've said this, I know this case. Oh, that has just literally put it in. Yep, I know this case.
So anyway, she met Lisa Castro. Now, in all accounts that I've read, she is a lovely girl. I just want to make that clear that obviously, you know, a victim as much as, well, I hope she's a victim as much as everybody else.
Yeah.
I think she is. But, you know, if you go on things like Reddit and you read stuff on there.
Not so much.
No, but everyone's got their opinion, haven't they?
Yeah.
And obviously, we can only state our opinion, and I stand by most of the time what I say.
Yeah, and our opinions are from the research that we do. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, we do try and do extensive searches, so we've got to sort of trust that.
Exactly. So, Michelle...
We do get it wrong also, though.
Yeah, that's it. And everyone gets things wrong. I mean, I know there was a case I recently did, and I listened to a podcast, and they had completely different information from me, and I was like, I'm going to go with what I've got because I'm sure my resources are correct.
But yeah.
They could have found something. It's just, you know, you don't know. You know, unless you've got the actual court documents in front of you and you can do it word for word from mm-hmm. the courts, it's really hard sometimes.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't get them if they're sealed or it's a minor. Like, you haven't got that luxury of having those court documents. So anyway, Michelle was attending appointments. She had with herself. He's obviously in foster care, so sometimes he gets moved around.
Is this where he had a thing under the basement?
Yeah, well, he did have him in the basement, but he also had him. They were in the house as well. They were allowed in the house. So she's attending appointments and things, but that, like I said, they sometimes would move, you know, he'd be moved around to different foster carers, which means wherever he was moved, she would have to go there for visitations, you know, and it so happened that the office that she was trying to find, she just couldn't find it. She was trying to find this office. She was going in for visitation. She couldn't find it. So she went into a shop and asked to use a phone to call the office. So she calls the office and she's sort of asking them for directions and they're just no help at all. And honestly, Michelle says that they were rude and sort of were just like, get here or you're going to miss your visitation.
Yeah.
There's a red mark against you. And I feel like if you have a mum calling you, asking you for help, like saying to you, like, I think I'm near you, but I'm in this shop. I've walked around. I can't find it. And I think it was quite far away and I'm sure she'd walked it the whole way.
Yeah, when I'm sure there are. They get loads of phone calls with a lot of bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm sure that does happen. But when someone is ringing you, like, give them the benefit of the doubt. If they say they're not far away and you give them really good directions and offer as much help as you can, if they're not there in, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes or depending what the circumstances are, like...
I'm pretty sure, though, how it works, and if you've got to attend these appointments, is if you're late, it is literally a red mark.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Which I do understand, but when she's ringing up and trying her best, I just think always give the benefit of the doubt, even though you put up with a million
phone calls,
bullshitters
and
one is good. Surely the benefit of the doubt is always the best way to go, and then you can say, look, I've done my job properly.
Yeah, exactly. So Michelle turns to her cousin and she says to her, look, like, you go home. You know what I mean? We've been walking around for ages.
Yeah.
You go home. I'll keep looking. I'll keep trying. I'm going to try and call the office again and see if I can get, you know, someone else to answer or more, like, any help, basically. So now she walks into the dollar store. So a Poundland to us, basically.
Yeah.
And she asked them, do you know where this place is? Like, I really have no clue. And I'm really desperate, basically. But who is behind her? The man of, you know, a man,
right.
Ario Castro. He says, oh, hello. So she sort of knew him, but she didn't know him.
Yeah.
She knew,
sort of
he
by
knew.
Sight or...
Yeah, he knew she knew Lisa and he sort of played on that. And he said, oh, look, I can help you. I have a car. And basically, Michelle's desperate at this stage. She agrees to go with him.
Yeah.
And also, she's a this familiarity. She knows him. She knows his daughter.
And also the stress of the situation where if she doesn't get here and like, this is so bad, like, you would take any help offered.
Yeah, you would. And it is, don't get into cars with strangers, even if you think you know them, like, absolutely not. But like you said, she's trying to see her son at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Your child comes first.
Yeah.
You know, so she's thinking, if I get in this car, you can take me there in 5 minutes. I'll be there and I get to see my son. Because imagine she misses him as well.
It's only my sort of assumption, but I'd hazard a guess at this point that things that he might do to her aren't even a thought in her head right now because she's so consumed with this. I have to
and
get
she,
to this
like
place.
And she knows... of him, like, he's familiar to her, so
my friend's dad, my friend's all right.
Yeah, you automatically have that built-in trust, don't you?
Yeah,
like, oh yeah, that's blah blah blah's dad,
yeah,
or mum or sister, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, as soon as she enters that car, her car's gonna change, her life is gonna change forever, and it's just become a very dark, disturbing place. So now we'll take a little break.
Okay.
We have some sponsors.
Sponsors, our first sponsor.
We'll get back to it. So our very first sponsor, and it is HelloFresh, and we are so excited, not just to have an ad that we can give to you guys, but an ad that I actually use.
And you have, yeah.
Yeah, so my cooking skills are below average.
yeah, something like that.
They're not that great. But using HelloFresh, everything is weighed out for you, measured. You can't go wrong. It's just, it's so easy how to cook.
And dummies, Bryony can do it. Now, I've literally been to Bryony's and I had that. Oh, what was it? You made me the Irish stew. Oh,
lovely.
Oh, it was so good. It was so good. And like, I can honestly say, I would have thought somebody else cooked it if I didn't watch you do it, genuinely. And also, I helped you eat the leftovers, that cheeseburger thing.
Yeah, well, I had, I can't remember what it's called. It was cheese, it was like wedges and cheeseburger. It was so delicious.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, I say I helped you eat it. Might have been a lot of it. Yeah, it was long. It was really, really good. So, like, if that's the kind of thing that you're into.
Easy. I do it because it's easy. My life is really, really busy at the moment. Yeah. And they're sort of, you can do the meals in 10, 15 minutes. Prep time, cooking. You know, you've got a meal on the table in half an hour, 45 minutes. And everyone in my family eats it.
Yeah. And there's so much choice.
Yeah. You can't go wrong.
So to get this offer, use code HELLO60AFF.
That is HELLO60AFF. For 60% off your first box and then 25% off for the next 2 months.
I mean, that's not bad, is it?
That's a good offer.
It's worth a try, if nothing else.
You need to get that offer.
Honestly, if Bryony can do it, you can do it.
It is for dummies, some of them. And I'll admit, I cannot cook. I don't like cooking, but I do like this. It's simple, it's easy. I can't go wrong. Step-by-step instructions, man. It says when to put stuff in the pan. You cannot go wrong. But anyway, yeah. So honestly, use code HELLO60AFF for 60% off your first box and then 25% off for 2 months after that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Welcome back.
Hey.
So we've obviously dived into Michelle Knight and her life.
Okay.
And now we're going to get into his second victim, which was Amanda Berry. So she was just 16 when she disappeared, which actually then makes Michelle must have been a little bit older. She must have been 17 then because she was definitely
still young then.
Oh yeah, 100%. And she'd obviously, Michelle's life had been awful.
Mm-hmm.
So Amanda Berry was just 16 when she disappeared on April the 21st, 2003, the day before her 17th birthday. She called her sister to tell her she was getting a ride home from her job at Burger King, but never made it. But she got off work early and couldn't get hold of her boyfriend. So her boyfriend was supposed to be picking her up. Her sister knew she was supposed to be coming home.
Okay.
She couldn't get off hold of her boyfriend. She saw a man and what she thought was a girl in the van. He asked if she wanted a ride. So she said yes, even though she said she knew something wasn't right.
But there's a girl in the van. It was probably Rose West.
But there wasn't a
girl.
She thought there was a girl in the van.
Gives you that false sense of security, doesn't it?
Right, so I wonder if there was a girl in the van, if it was his daughter maybe. He's dropped his daughter off. She's seen her in the van. Obviously, she hasn't seen her get out. He's like, do you want to ride? Just speculation, but that could have happened.
Yeah, I mean, oh my God, there's so much that could have happened. But for whatever reason, she thought there was a girl.
Yeah, exactly. And I think sometimes humans know something's wrong. You have that gut feeling. It's so deep and it's so intense, isn't it? But you don't want to hurt someone's feelings. No. You brush it off. No. You think you're being silly.
There's the girl in the van that's a false sense of security.
Yeah. Like, oh, it's just so hard. And I think we're all made like that sometimes. It's so difficult.
Oh, especially, well, I don't know, that might cause issues, but the English just don't want to offend, do they? So I don't know if it's different in other places, but I feel like that is sort of built into everyone in some sort of way, or a lot of people in some sort of way.
Yeah, exactly. And you need to make sure, like, before it was sort of don't talk to strangers, but then if a grown-up approaches you, you be polite and you
respectful,
know,
trust thy neighbor.
Now you tell kids, don't talk to anybody.
No.
Don't go anywhere. If a grown-up comes up to you and says, I don't know, come and have a look over here, you say, absolutely not. Go away.
You trust these five people and these five people only.
Yeah, exactly. We would have never known if he would have just grabbed her anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We would never have known that. You know, it's just so hard.
I think maybe if the option wasn't there, he wouldn't have. But I think probably if he had the chance.
I know. So she did have a mobile phone. And he asked her about it, saying, yeah, it's new. It's my birthday present. He said to her, do you want to come back to mine and see my daughter? She agreed. I really think it was more of a, I don't want to be rude type answer. Mm-hmm. Anyway, she ended up going to his house and they have talked about her mobile phone. He asked her if he could hold it. She let him. He said, so yes, yeah, so she said, yeah. He had the phone in his hand and he was sort of like, oh, I just need to go and chain my dog up because, you know, he's quite, you know, you're coming in the house. And she's like, okay. So he leaves and she never sees her phone again.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's so easily done. I think people, you, as an outsider, you sit there and you go, how stupid. Why would you give him your phone?
Red flags, come on.
But when you're in that situation, it depends what you're like as a person. Like, she said she felt something was wrong, but she obviously pushed that to the side. Yeah. And maybe he, when he said, like, do you want to go and see my daughter? I don't know how he worded it. He could have been like, I've just need to quickly pop back to mine. My mm-hmm. daughter's there. You can see my daughter. You know, like, oh, you know, my daughter, I just need to pop back to mine quickly. You don't know, do you, what happened? I mean, for her to relay this, it's so many years after that I imagine she can't remember everything.
And also, looking at it as an adult, you've got completely different sort of glasses looking at it, haven't you? Like, a view of it, it's things I would be like, that's so stupid, like, wah. But what was my frame of mind at that age? Like, I was just a pleaser. I would have just done anything and said anything because I just didn't want to upset people.
I know, this is the thing, isn't it? And I think, yeah, like you say, we were brought up like that, and now you try and bring your kids up differently.
Yeah,
like, trust me. Your mums knew about paedophiles, but they weren't massive things, you know? And kidnapping was so rare
that
you didn't hear about it, really. Now you hear about it in America, in Spain, you know, you hear about it all over the world.
My mum was molested, but I was still brought up to do as adults said, and that was the end of it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, because that's how they were brought up, you know? So now... He said, you know, come in the house, come on in. And that was it. But like that, she vanished.
Oh, so sad.
So now people were looking for Amber, but Michelle wasn't looked for. Her mum and sister knew that she just runs away. So at one point, her not being there was just, you know, she's probably ran away.
Just the norm, yeah. Like,
yeah, you know. But Amanda was different. She had a family that were really close and she was missed. And the local community were showing their support for her mum and sister. You know, everybody was out looking for her. The police were out looking for her, you know.
That is great, but what a shame, the difference in the victims.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it? So next we have our third victim. Now, she was only 14. 14 years old.
That's just no age, is it?
That's Gina DiJesu.
Sorry, I was just saying that's no age, but then our last case.
I know, she's 10.
No, the perpetrator was 14.
Oh, right, yeah, sorry. I know, it's crazy, isn't it?
It is such a, so different, isn't it?
So Gina was just 14 years old when she was kidnapped by Ariel. So she actually asked her mum if she could go to her friend's house, and her mum said, no, come straight home.
Oh, okay.
So she sort of walked to the corner and parted ways with her friend. And who happened to be driving down the road? This dickhead. And he was actually friends of her father's.
Oh.
So she knew him. I don't know how well she knew him.
But she knew him.
And on April 2nd, 2004, she was reportedly walking home when she was abducted by Ariel. She was obviously taken to her house. Now, obviously, I'm going to get into everything that happened in that house. But these girls, they weren't just all together like a happy little three. You know, they didn't just all have each other. He isolated all of them.
Like, he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, he didn't. They weren't allowed to, sometimes they were allowed to see each other, but it was very, very rare. I think, I'm sure I have to, because I've only done it up to
Did
here.
Did he set them off against each other, or was it just separating them so they don't get together?
A little bit. I think they all knew. I think they all did what they had to do to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of abuse, especially on one particular victim, which was Michelle. She got a lot of his anger, and I think they were just sort of made to stand there and they couldn't really do anything about it, which obviously, if you're getting beaten and you've got two other people stood there sort of not doing anything, like, it does make you resent them because you're getting beaten and they're not.
Yeah.
But she was like a little hero. She would rather him beat her
than them.
Aww. Yeah. So it was like they all sort of had each other's backs in a sense. But they all
silently done it.
Yeah, because they were, like I said, kept apart from each other, isolated. So they couldn't form that. He didn't want them to form that. And it's just such a controlling, horrible thing. So I think if they were kidnapped and were allowed to be together, obviously it would have been shit. But yeah, but they would have had each other for support, and that would have given them hope or whatever. Exactly. And that he knew that's not what they wanted.
No, exactly. And
no, he didn't know that's not what they wanted. That's not what he wanted.
Yeah, exactly. He wanted them to all be. He wanted them to be petrified all the time. Yeah. I think that's what he loved as well. And obviously, they were all kept in his house. He had his kids around his house. He had people around his house. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't like he had this house and no one was around. And the worst bit about it was, is he was a bus driver, a kid's bus driver. That's what he did for a living. He drove kids to and from school.
It's just something we hear over and over, uh-huh. isn't it? Like, so, you put yourself in that position where it's sort of easy pickings.
Mm-hmm, exactly. So, obviously, I've only done it up to here because, like I said, I wanted to touch on their lives.
Gina
was looked for. She wasn't, you know, her parents knew she was missing. She was looked for, the police knew, and then as well the police were always sort of like, oh, they've ran away, they'll be back, they've ran away. Mm-hmm. And that's so frustrating for a parent, because you know your child better than anybody else, and they're sort of telling you, oh, they've ran away.
If you're a parent of a child that you probably think it's just run away, you wouldn't be so quick to call the police.
Or you would call the police and want them looking, but, you know,
you'd be like, they do this all the time. Yeah. You know, one day something bad's going to happen. Mm-hmm.
But you've got one girl that was trying to find her son.
Yeah.
You know, she was desperate to see him, saw him on every visit. Why would she just vanish?
Yeah.
You've got one girl that was just leaving work and was waiting for her boyfriend. So, she phoned her sister and said, I'll be home soon. So why would she just not come home? Yeah. And you've got one girl that was walking home from frigging school.
Yeah.
You know, she just phoned her mum and asked if she could go to her friend's house.
Yeah.
You know? But it's just, if only her mum would have let her go on to her friend's, so many, like, say, if some buts.
I bet her mum has struggled with that.
Oh, man. Yeah, I bet she has. Yeah, all her life. And you never get your relationship back with your children if you've lost so many years with them. It's so flipping hard.
Yeah.
And these girls are all so damaged.
And I'm sorry, just going back to the mum thing. Like, her mum probably thought she was doing the best thing, which is what we would all think. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. You never know what you're going to pass, you know, what paths you're going to take in lives. What, you know, you drive up the road and you think, if I'd have drove 5 seconds before, 5 seconds after.
Yeah.
You know?
You do think, like, I'd drum it into
I'm terrible for that as well. I overthink everything.
Yeah, I drum it into my kids. Like, trust now, I don't get in the car then or anything. But especially with the last victim, I think trust was implied because he knew her dad.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if I was driving up the road and one of your children see me, they'd get in the car with me.
Oh, and for sure, 100%. 100%.
Maybe not your youngest. Yeah. He'd probably be like, phone my mum.
He thinks you're a dick.
Like, phone my mum and ask if I can get in. But like your oldest, he would just jump straight in. Yeah. And same with my kids with you.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, like you say, there's just that element of trust if you know somebody.
Yeah.
It is.
Even if you don't know them, but they're in your sort of
bubble-ish.
Yeah, stratosphere or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, you just let your guard down that little bit, which you shouldn't. Don't trust anybody.
No.
Ever.
No.
Never.
Just don't tell nobody. My kids not to get in the car with you now.
Just trust nobody. Oh, yeah, but when you want them taken somewhere, you'll be like, get in the car.
Well, unless mummy says it's okay.
It's all right. I don't want to steal anybody else's children. I've got enough of my own. Thank you. I do not want anybody else's problems.
All right. I might let them in the car with you, actually.
I will definitely bring them back. But yeah, so like I said, next week what we'll do is we'll dive into their house, you know, and how they lived and what happened to them. I mean, they all survived, so there's no...
Oh, they all did? Oh, good.
There's no deaths in this case. I feel like if you don't know this case, I'm giving you so much information, but it's so well known. But anybody that doesn't know it, don't Google it. Wait till I tell you the story.
No, don't do it.
Honestly, I'm so excited to do this case. This is a massive case. And I remember when I first heard it, and I was just like, I feel sick. Like, I heard it, and then I had to Google it. And there is... I'm sure there's like not a documentary, I'm sure, or there probably is documentaries, but I'm sure there's like a film that's been sort of made
maybe
roughly around.
I've not
it.
Seen it if
there has. I'm sure, I don't, I there think it might be on YouTube.
There's a film I watched, what was it called? It was like one word, it was like home or no, what was it called?
You're so crap tonight.
I am so crap. I think it was the woman that played, she was like, not Wonder Woman, the other woman.
Oh my God. Where are we going?
Not Captain America.
Oh my God. No, it's getting worse.
Brie Larson. Brie Larson.
I have no idea.
She was the lead in it. And it was like, basically, it was kind of like this, where she lived in like a outhouse or like a shed thing that he made.
Right.
And he got pregnant and she had a son. And they got out.
Yeah, there's pregnancies in this one.
There was a son. He got older and she taught him how to play dead.
So the guy would think he was dead. Room. That's what it was called. Room.
Okay.
So she taught her son when he got to like this age to play dead. So the guy would think he dead. He rolled him up in a carpet and she taught him to run like when he took him in the carpet in the van.
That is like very, obviously if that it was a true story, that's it, very hard to do. Imagine if he hadn't got out that carpet.
Yeah. It was so risky, but it's the only thing she could do.
Yeah, but you just put in your son's
and
life.
I mean, this guy was awful. He used to come down and rape her while her son was there. Yeah. And it was just horrible. And she was old enough when she got taken to know, you know, this isn't the way it's done.
Yeah. Yeah, but all these victims were. I mean, they were all just living. I mean, obviously, I think Michelle would have gone on to have a life with her son. I think she would have got him back. I think, you know, she would have done anything to get him back. And I, you know, if it was different, I really would hope that she would and just sort her life out and be the best mum she could. And I think all these children, because they are, had their whole lives ahead of them. And he took it away, so many years of their life away for his pleasure.
Yeah.
And would he have gone and got another victim?
Oh, yeah. You know? Guys like this don't stop.
It wasn't like he kidnapped him like, 1, 2, 3. You know, it was like one, and then a few years later, it was another one. Yeah. You know, it wasn't, you know.
Do you know what? The only thing that stops these people is death or jail.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And also, as well, I want to touch on the Delphi murders. Mm-hmm. So they've released the affidavit, which I didn't know about until CC posted it on his group. I saw you post it on our group, I think. And I was like, oh my God, how did I not know about this? So I literally sat there. I've got to page like 5. I still haven't gone through it all. I've gone through it and I've been writing stuff and I've gone through it and I've been writing stuff. And I'm like, obviously we don't know 100% if it was him. He's obviously...
Oh, no.
No, but listen, like you're innocent till proven guilty and all that crap, you know. But, and his wife has said like, oh, those clothes he wore that day, we've still got them. You can have them. Yeah.
He actually said those were the clothes he was wearing. Yeah. But at the time when he said that's what he was wearing, he didn't know there was video footage of it.
I know that. And also as well, I don't think he knew that he dropped that bullet casing. I don't think
because he said he fire had, it. And he openly admitted he had the bloody gun.
And the gun
and
matches.
They let him, yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not a gun expert, you know, like, but the bullet matches his gun. And it's like, I think it's sort of like,
his answer was he has no idea how he got there.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't found in the vicinity of the body. It was found in between the bodies.
I know, yeah. But the only thing we haven't got is we don't know if they've got DNA. But thing is, right, so the records were sealed and I was on Reddit.
Okay. Reddit is your thing.
I know. And everyone was like, well, not everyone, a few people were like, oh my God, well, they haven't said they've got DNA, so it probably isn't him because they would just run the DNA row out. And I'm like, but... they didn't seal the records, okay? The judge sealed the records. Yeah. The prosecution were like, there you go. So we don't know half of it. And also as well, they've searched his house and we have no idea what they found in that house. We have absolutely no idea.
And I guess
no
the
idea.
Judge has probably done it for the best reason, so you can't have a mistrial or whatever.
The judge did it, I think, to start with because it was just such a big thing to happen. I think they were like, well, let's just take a minute. Let's seal these records. Let's properly look through them, think about how we're going to release them.
Also, it is protecting the fairness of a trial,
and there's witnesses on there that said, like, you know, I seen this guy, he was bloody, he was this, he was that. Like, you're putting those witnesses in danger because somebody, I don't know who, because it was his lawyer that were like, apparently somebody said that there could have been two perpetrators. Now, I don't know where, I'm trying to find out where that's actually came from. I don't know if it's just like a made up rumour.
I've not seen that in anything that I've read.
His lawyer said it and he's like, but where's this second person come from? Because everyone said that it was one man in the trail, the clothes he was wearing and this car that he was driving. And he had a smart car. That was his car at that time. Did he have a smart car? Did he have like a small car? Anyway, he had a car similar to what was seen, but two witnesses said different cars. So, but they were like similar, like one said a smart car and then one said like a
something
car that's similar to a smart car. Do you know what I mean? And it was when smart cars first came out. So it wasn't like, you know, when you see a smart car now, you know, they're a smart car.
Is it lawyer tricks? They look over here while we're getting our shit together over here, like sort of diversion.
I don't know.
Or is it genuine?
I don't know. I'm just so happy that they've arrested somebody. And I think when it got
they
to like
so shush about it all like, oh my God,
well,
for so long.
Kept saying, I remember the press conference when they were like, you could be in this room. Now he lived there and I guarantee you he was in that room at that press conference because he was searching. I'm sure he was searching for them. Mm. I'm sure he like
put himself in that investigation. He was spoken to, and he said, yeah, I was on the trail. No, I didn't see anything. So they've gone, oh, yeah, he's come forward. He was on the trail. Don't worry about him.
Yeah.
And I reckon that's why their focus was on other people. And there were other people that sort of fit the sketch, fit, you know, like the one we looked at, you know. Yeah. He was good for it. He obviously didn't do it, but he was looked at as a suspect because he was
a legit suspect.
Yeah, and he looked like the sketch, like we were showing pictures, weren't we? But then when you've got this guy, he also looks like the sketch.
Yeah.
So anyway, I've just been going through it, and I've been going through it in bed, so then I get sleepy, so then I'm like, oh gosh, shut my eyes.
You've got to go read through it.
Yeah, and then I've got to read through the last bit that I've done. But yeah, I'm making notes on it just because there's so many things in there that I'm like, oh, I must check this out. Oh, I must check this out. Oh, I must check. But his search of his home, did he consent to that search, or did they get a search warrant?
Yeah, and also because everything's been so secretive around this, I do think it's this guy. Like, everything I've read is like, good, great, brilliant. Yeah. Also, they've been so secretive around it. Why, if they knew this back then?
I don't think they did.
Yeah, but they did know. They had the footage, and they knew that this guy was wearing this. Why? I'm not saying it's as easy as, well, I doubt, there you go, that's your killer. But what I am saying is, why is it taking to now to put the pieces together?
Because I think he was spoken to at the start, right? So what I think's happened is, he was spoken to at the start. Anyone on the trail come forward. He's come forward and he's gone, yeah, I was there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was there. And they've gone, okay, brilliant. You're ticked you off. You're not a suspect anymore. You were just, you're a witness, basically. Yeah. You were there. You told us what you saw. Yeah. You know, you could have said anything. You know, I saw a guy actually wandering around, looked a bit dodgy. Anyway, obviously he didn't know that he dropped that bullet, otherwise he would have got rid of the gun. So he had no idea that happened. And if he did, he's fucking stupid. Anyway, stupid is good because we like stupid.
We like stupid.
Anyway, so then he's gone off and he's probably thinking, I'm smarter than you. You've got nothing on me. And they've never released it. Didn't release that there was a shell casing. They haven't released if they've got DNA or not. Mm-hmm. They haven't even released how they were killed. Yeah. Everybody says, oh, if they would have been shot, people would have heard it. But they haven't said that gun was fired. They said they found a bullet.
A shell casing. An unused one.
Yeah. So now on the video, they've released more of the video, and it actually says, first thing they say is gun. The girls say gun. So they, because everyone's like, how did those girls, why did those girls not scream and run? Yeah. Why didn't they scream and run? Like, what was going through? Gun. So they've seen a gun and they've
that's never
shit.
Been a doubt in my head. It wasn't a case that they just did it like because someone said so, that there was some sort of threat there.
Yeah, exactly. So they saw a gun, they've gone with him, right? So then he's gone, you know, down the hill, over there, whatever. Yeah, and then I forgot what your question was now. Anyway, yeah, so they've spoken to him.
Why wasn't it looked into more? From what you've said so far, I get all that, I do. But just the pure thing of his account.
Because they had so many other suspects.
Yeah, they had a long fucking time.
No, I know, but listen, right, so they probably had 50 suspects that were good for it. They've gone through them all, right? And then they've gone, the case has got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. They've said, I think when they had that press conference, they said, you're probably in this room. I think that he was a suspect then. I think they were changing their minds. What they've done then is they've gone all the way back through it all, started all again. And then he's cropped up somehow. I don't know how,
But still, this isn't months.
No,
this
would you not rather them take years and get it right than arrest someone that day and get it wrong?
Yeah.
Because you've only got one chance to try him.
No, I get this, but it's a long, long time.
No, I know.
He was wearing what the guy in the video was wearing. They knew that from the get-go.
Didn't.
Yeah, no. He said, mate, I can't remember what his babe name is now.
No, I can't either.
But
didn't it?
He said, he told them, I was there, and he told them exactly what he was wearing.
Oh, I didn't know that bit.
Yeah, no, he did.
But either way, right, so I don't care about that. All I care about is the fact that he somehow gone from a suspect to a witness, somehow. Don't know how.
What I've read so far, and maybe more stuff will come out and I'll change my tune completely, but from what I've read so far, somebody fucked up somewhere.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I don't agree the investigation was handled the best way it could have been, but every case is somehow, something happens in that case that shouldn't have happened somehow. But the main thing is now is, they've definitely got the right guy, right? I know it's taken him years, and let's hope to God he's not harmed anyone else in that time, because to do that and then to do nothing,
It's, yeah.
It's very, very strange. But his wife and his kids have said, like, he was an amazing
dad.
Yeah,
amazing this was totally
husband.
Out of sort of, like, their field.
Yeah. So, you know, we might find out that actually it's not him and that they're completely wrong and then they're back to square one.
I hope after all this, I really hope that's not the... Not that I want an innocent man to go to jail at all, but I hope this is the right guy.
But out of... I know the police have got all the evidence, right? We had... half the evidence and yeah. we still not we is but the whole country that yeah. was, I mean this case is massive,
yeah,
right, and everybody that was doing these cases had so many other people that were right for it,
yeah,
that you could, oh it's him, oh it's got to be him, oh it's got to be him because of this, his voice sounds like this. But what I don't understand is they've got the voice, why has no one done a voice comparison on his
maybe
voice?
Maybe they have, I don't know,
because I haven't seen it. I'm sure it would, you'd see,
yeah,
that.
But there's so much we haven't bloody seen,
because if
there?
They do that,
but
we
thing
will
is,
know
it's all very well saying yeah but so many people have said this and there's so many of the suspects and this, la la. But we didn't have all the information, the police did.
No, I know, and I get that, but actually do we know, do they not have that much information? Do they have DNA? We don't know. They've never come out and said they
do. I don't know about that. Just from the information that they've released, to me, it raises more flags of why wasn't more done sooner.
I can't agree with you because I think I'm so happy that he's cool. I think that I'd rather take this long and then get it right than them rush it and get it wrong.
Yeah, I do. I totally agree with that. I really,
because
really do.
If he's done this, he deserves to spend the rest of his life in jail.
Oh yeah,
I mean hopefully it'd be, I don't know if where he lives if they've got a death penalty, I hope they have, I don't know.
When I was reading the affidavit and that, I was just my feelings throughout it was, why is this taking so, all I kept on coming back to is, why is this taking so long?
Yeah, and I do agree with you in a sense, but I can't get on board with you because I just think he somehow was just put on the witness box somehow, he managed to,
yeah.
He was lucky,
no, I
to.
Believe that because crap police book.
Yeah, but they've gone back and a few people maybe, and they've started afresh and they've realized straight away, but he might have been a suspect 3 years ago and we've not known about him. And I guarantee you if he was a suspect they would have been fucking watching him. He wouldn't have been shit about them knowing it. They would have been watching him. He would have been watched.
I hope more comes out that does clarify these things because there's so many questions.
Yeah, but I 100% guarantee you if he was a suspect 3-5 years ago, whatever, he's been being watched. He hasn't been, and he's probably known he's been being watched.
Mm.
Probably because it's only so long a car can
probably. Even if he didn't know it, let's hope that he felt it in some sort of sense.
Yeah, exactly. And that's maybe why he hasn't reoffended, because he knows he's being watched.
Yeah,
you just don't
he
know.
He was being a good boy.
Or he's done it and then he's gone, got this conscience and gone, what the hell have I done?
That's unlikely, but there are cases where that happens.
Yeah.
It's not unlikely as
do
it is.
You don't like it.
It happens.
Mm-hmm. You could have a fantasy about it, do it, and then go, shit.
Or it wasn't what he thought it would be, or...
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But I still don't know how... Because obviously there was talk that they were talking to someone on Instagram, wasn't there? That was a massive thing. I don't know if he comes into that or if he literally just seen them. But
from what I've read, no. But... Doesn't mean it's not.
No, exactly. It doesn't mean it's not. But I don't know. It's just, there's so much more to this case to come out. And until it does, I feel like you can't be too mad at them for taking this long.
I mean, I'm not. And I am very open to more stuff could come out and my opinion could change. Like, I'm like that with nearly all the cases that we do, especially the unsolved ones. But so far, from the information I've received, or consumed, or however you want to put it, I am just sort of like...
But it could have been anything. It could have been, right, that he said, he's been interviewed and he said, yeah, I was wearing this and this, and somebody's wrote it down wrong. Could have been that they've wrote down wrong.
But that just leads back to shoddy police work.
Yeah, no, I know, and I understand that, but that would have been one person that's done it wrong, not the whole police
work. No, I'm not blaming the whole police work, but someone somewhere fucked up. That's my initial take.
I just can't say it.
From
I can't
this.
Myself to say it.
I'm not saying someone like the whole police force, but someone somewhere needs to lose a job from what I've read so far.
I think that I think they've done really well in keeping any evidence that they might have, because we still don't know if they have,
any evidence that they might have really close to their chest. Like, nobody knew about this bullet casing until it came out. And I don't give a shit what anyone says. Nobody knew about it.
I didn't know.
Because if he'd have known, he would have got rid of that gun. Mm-hmm. You know, why he didn't get rid of that gun anyway.
But then I don't know, because I know, like, obviously guns are a lot bigger in America than they are here. Do things like that need to be tested for you to own a gun?
He had guns that he had
permits. And this was a registered gun.
Yeah.
So things like that taken when you own a gun? Like, you have to give a ballistics thing of the shell casings and stuff?
No, but a shell casing is like a fingerprint. So,
yeah.
And that's, I think it was like a caliber 45 is like quite a common gun.
Maybe that is what we need to start doing is...
What, owning guns?
No.
No.
But not just saying they own this gun, but be like, we need you to, I don't know, shoot a potato and then give us the round. So there's a fingerprint of it.
Well, what, everybody that they have a suspect for?
No, for everyone that owns a gun.
Yeah. Then... Oh, yeah, I see what you mean. I see what you mean. Yeah, but I think, I imagine, I mean, I need to speak to a gun expert, but I wonder if they could do it even without the gun, with it just being registered. I don't know if they could or not.
I'm not following.
Like, so say you go into a gun shop and you buy, I don't know any guns. I think like a caliber 45 is a gun, right? So I bought this one and it's like registration number C522. Do they, if I use that gun to kill someone and they didn't have the gun, could they go to the shop if they knew where I bought it from?
And but how would they know where you bought it from?
Well, I don't know. Say there's like two gun shops, wherever it is. You might take a chance and go in there and see if my name's on there.
Yeah, you could own a gun at one side of the country, move to the other side.
Yeah, obviously, then it'd be harder. But say there was only one gun shop in the area.
I mean, I guess they probably did. I would hope that they looked at gun shops if they had this bullet from the start.
They roughly know what gun it was fired.
I would hope they did ask around about guns being sold recently.
Or even not recently.
You can own a gun for umpteen bloody years. And like I said, you don't have to do it in the same state. You could literally do it from one end.
Well, yeah, no, of course. That goes without saying.
But then you open up a whole big thing then. So, but I would imagine they did go to local gun shops and sort of been like...
Who owns this type of gun?
Yeah.
But then there could be 3,000, 10,000 people that have bought that gun in the last 5 years.
Narrows it down if it's a really sort of antique or something like that.
Because it's quite a common gun. So you've got 10,000 people that you've got to go through. No, it wasn't in the area. Everything just takes time.
We don't get it because we don't have guns like that in this country. We do have them and it's becoming more evident the more the years go on. It really is.
Yeah.
But it's not still quite like America at all.
Well, we obviously you can have a permit here with guns, but you can't walk around with a gun like in America.
Nope.
You know,
my dad owns guns and it's so strict.
Yeah.
He gets police visiting him. Yeah. It's so strict.
A guy I work for, he owns guns and his mum is obviously losing her marbles a bit. And he's like, I'm dreading it when they come and do a home visit. Because they've asked her before, like, you know, do you feel safe here with him and his guns? And she's like, yeah. And now she's obviously gone a bit doolally.
No.
You know who I'm talking about, don't you? She'll be, they'll be like, so do you feel safe here? But she'll be like, no, he tries to shoot me or something. I'm like, you're going to get your guns taken away from you, man. But he's so good with them. Like, everything's locked up. Do you know what I mean? Like,
my dad got his gun taken off.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Because somebody accused him of doing something completely not gun related, but wrongly confused him.
But
wrongly accused him. But they were hot on it. They came and took his guns.
Yeah, that's good, though.
You know, I think that's fucking brilliant.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I agree that should happen. Obviously, his was a load of shit.
Yeah.
You know, how do they know? I mean, I'm not going to lie. My temper's terrible. I feel like someone pissed me off.
I feel like if you had a gun, people would die.
Yeah, I'd be like, fuck you, boosh. Fucking disagree with me. Bye.
Join our group.
Yeah, seriously, join our group.
It's all right. There's no guns in England.
No. But anyway, I feel like we should let people go because we've been talking absolutely crap.
Yeah, we're ranting, aren't we?
But I'm just so happy that they've arrested somebody.
There's something. There's movement. There's... And it's more than that.
I don't think he'll have his trial until... 2 years. I reckon it'll be about 2 years.
No, this is going to drag on, I feel.
And on and on and on. There's going to be... He's obviously going to want to move venues. That's going to be granted. It should be granted because...
I mean, I hope if they've got sufficient evidence and whatnot, for the families, I hope that it's quick, but I don't think it will be.
No, but I think for the families, it's not even a relief, I don't think. It's just another stage of grief.
And another stage of waiting.
Yeah, and it must just bring everything right back up again. Yeah. I mean, they were just so young and...
They've sort of given him like a snippet of something and then nothing for a minute.
And they were like bestest friends. They would have been like us. They would have hated each other when they got to like 30.
Yeah, oh, for
40,
sure.
40, we're 30, but you're closer to 40.
Yeah, fuck off. You're only a couple months behind me,
I'm like nearly a year. Well, like 5 months, but you know. Those 5 months count, okay? Because right, you're always a year older than me.
Buy for
like
me a 5 months. Cardigan and slippers for Christmas.
Oh yeah, you do like slippers, pajamas. You're in pajamas now, aren't you?
Well, kind of, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, it was lovely talking to you guys. But next week, we will not talk absolute bollocks.
No.
And join our group on Facebook. Join our group on Instagram. Join our group on TikTok. But it's not a group on TikTok.
Just join one of them.
Yeah. Maybe Facebook. Facebook's the one we're most active on.
Yeah.
TikTok, we've got two TikToks, I think. So I'm not really, make sure you join the right one because I've had to do a new one.
Yeah. If there's posts from a while ago, that ain't the one.
No. And I don't really post on there very often. Instagram I go on occasionally and post on,
but we are going to try and do better.
Yeah, we will try and do better. I do sometimes come on and do like little talks on Instagram just because I'm bored, just chat crap to people,
yeah,
you know. But yeah, so come and join us.
Yeah,
much love.
Loves.
Bye.